and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. A jam-packed celebrity hotline today. Comedian Jimmy Tingle. Simon Lazarus. He's a big legal guy.
Yeah.
We'll talk about these Supreme Court nominations. And Kathy and Jimmy, actress, comedian extraordinaire, also on the celebrity hotline, stephaniemiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Crystal Boy, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. The president talking about closing tax loopholes yesterday.
Today, I'm announcing a set of proposals to crack down on illegal overseas tax evasion,
about time.
Close loopholes, and make it more profitable for companies to create jobs here in the United States.
What? That's crazy. What a socialist.
Exactly. And Representative Eric Cantor on why the Republicans held their rebranding meeting at a pizza parlor.
We've chosen Potanza because it is emblematic of thousands of small businesses across the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's and it might look like a, it might, because there was only 50 people, and that might. Next time it'll be in a phone booth. Okay. If only we could have someone that could talk about all the issues that happened. Yes, Chris, in the tax loopholes. Who is it?
From the great state of Virginia, my home state, it's Representative Tom Perriello.
All right.
They call him Perriello.
Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, y'all.
Thanks.
Quite a wake-up call.
Yeah. There you go. Just making sure you were awake there. So, Congressman, talk to us first about this, the closing the tax loopholes, because this would seem like a good thing, you know, but I'm guessing we're going to get resistance on it.
Well, it's a great thing. I'll tell you, I come from a part of the state where we've seen massive job losses in the last 25 years. We're nearing 25% unemployment in Martinsville, double-digit employment. We used to be a manufacturing hub for furniture, for textiles, and all that's gone overseas. And I think, what we've seen really from too much of both parties in recent decades is leaving working folks behind. And I think this is a great step by the president to stand up and say, hey, this is just good common sense to reward the companies that are staying here. And for an area like mine that's hurting, it really means a lot.
Well, I'm just guessing that I'm going to get an avalanche of those emails from my Republican brother. what are you anticipating, Congress? Because I know this is going to be a tough road to hoe, isn't it?
Well, it's a tricky business trying to predict what arguments they'll come up with against things.
Yeah, you would have had to be at the pizza parlor to figure out what their plan is.
Well, I think that what you'll see is things like last week we had a really good bill to stop some of the predatory lending by credit cards, and there was hemming and hawing, but eventually they didn't want to be on the wrong side of that one, so you did see a lot of Republicans cross over, and we'll see where they are on this one. But I think, what we've seen repeatedly is that, their party is awfully close to Wall Street, and I think Wall Street won't be excited about this. There's sometimes too many in our party that are too cozy there as well, but I think what this has got to start being is a movement towards basic accountability for the predatory lending, for the mortgage-backed securities, for all this bad stuff that's gone on. And this idea of taking American jobs and going overseas has got to be part of that.
Well, Congressman, the business community, of course, argues the deferral system helps them compete against foreign companies that pay taxes only in the countries where they generate profits. So you're going to get resistance, I assume, from Republicans on this.
Well, I think you will get that resistance, and I think there's been a really naive notion in both parties in recent decades that says that buys into a vision of free trade that may make sense in academic textbooks, but not in the real world. I mean, the countries we compete against make major investments in education and public health to outcompete us, and they do subsidize certain industries. So I think there has been an idea that, again, is more of sort of an ivory tower than a reality.
Mm-hmm.
But you do get a tremendous intellectual arrogance about those who are critical of anything that seems to be not total blind free trade. And I think the reality is the intellectual arrogance is ill-founded because the models don't hold up in reality. If you look at the tiger economies, the modeling there, if you look at what's happened with developing economies, we're the only ones just massively shipping our jobs overseas. Mm-hmm. And I think that's too often because you have the politics being driven by companies that don't have any sense of borders, and so they're more than happy for those jobs to go overseas
right.
and make money there.
Right.
But that doesn't really work for the middle class and the working class here.
Right. Well, Congressman, here's once again where I need your help, because I'm just a layperson. I often don't understand the argument on the other side. I mean, the president said yesterday it's a tax code that says you should pay lower taxes if you create a job in Bangalore, India, than if you create one in Buffalo, New York. Which seems understandable to me, but I know that some Republicans have already heard or are, you know, arguing the opposite, that this is going to lose jobs. How do they figure?
Well, the argument would be that those companies that are keeping some footprint here will just go overseas completely in order to not be seen as the ones that are shipping jobs overseas, and that we'll lose the headquarters and the other things. And, you know, first of all, I just don't think the empirics of that add up. And second of all, I think it continues to be a move in a direction that really helps Wall Street more than Main Street. And that's just, you know, at a point where we have double-digit unemployment, we have families who are just desperate to find a job, we've got to figure out how to get the purchasing power of the American family back up. And
right.
I think issues like health care reform and other things are part of that, and obviously getting in the forefront of the new energy economy.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that, you know, really is crazy to me is these people who are saying, you know, that if we do energy right, we'll somehow lose jobs. Where do they think the jobs are coming from? Where do they think the next wave of manufacturing jobs will be? But I think that what's going to be important is that we not just figure out how to switch energy sources, but we figure out how to produce the mechanics of that here. How do we make those advanced batteries? How do we make the wind turbines here
mm-hmm,
in
mm-hmm.
the U.S.? Because I think this myth that we can keep going without making anything or growing anything has just got to come to
mm-hmm.
an end.
Yeah, well, I mean, Congressman, I think you're right. That's where, I mean, to me, this all starts is jobs, jobs, jobs. You know, nobody can buy a house or a car or any of the other industries that are in trouble unless they have a job. So, you know, this seems like, you know, pretty elemental to me.
Yeah, and I would just say this, you know, I think for those who've supported these ridiculous bailouts as well, there's been this notion that, you know, hey, you got to understand that Main Street and Wall Street are in this together. And I actually agree, but I think if that's true, why don't we start out by helping in shoring up Main Street, and then Wall Street will benefit from that eventually,
mm-hmm.
instead of doing it in the other direction where it never quite seems to trickle back down.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. How do you feel like the stimulus is, I mean, do you feel like it's we're starting to see slivers of light or what?
I think the stimulus has had a really positive effect and is starting to have an even bigger one. You know, we've had schools in my district that would have shut down, hundreds of teaching jobs, law enforcement jobs. We've been able to get a few infrastructure projects moving forward that are going to put people to work but also create value in the community. We've had a green energy summit in our area talking about how we can move from being the former furniture capital of the country to being the future green energy capital. And we're daring to look not just about how to survive the next quarter, but how to thrive again and how
mm-hmm.
to
mm-hmm.
how to think of a 5-year plan to get back on top of competitiveness. And I think it's given us the space to dare to hope again economically. But, you know, frankly, I think it could have been more infrastructure in it and less of some of the other things.
Mm-hmm.
But the overall push, I think, was right.
Well, Congressman Perriello, now that you've brought up infrastructure in your district, I think you've seen through our plan. We normally just have congressmen on that are from my producer's home state to find out where would you need some potholes fixed, Chris? Is that
well, he actually, Representative Perriello represents the other side of the state. I'm from Hampton Roads.
All right. But he can make a call.
The right. Rio Virginia, dare I say.
That's right.
Not the communist part.
Yeah.
All right. Representative Tom Perriello, thanks for taking time for us this morning.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much.
Hooray.
There we go. Yeah, we've you know what, like, nobody can see through that. We've had our congresspeople from all of our home districts on to talk about various potholes and
whatever.
Things that we need worked on. Certain lights that are too long. There's things that are important.
Yeah.
Yeah, why
us.
Can't they standardize the don't walk sign things and the numbers? You know, they tells you you've got 3 seconds to get to the intersection.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe more. Or maybe less.
Yeah.
Or maybe not. Oops, too late. There comes a bus.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I just, when I saw this tax loophole thing, I thought, I can just make a prediction already. I'm going to have an email from my Republican brother.
Oh, yeah.
From, I don't know. There's something about not being able to send the money somewhere overseas. That's going to be some sort of communistical, socialistical thing.
Forcing companies
not being able to
pay taxes on their earnings?
Hide your money somewhere. That's the American way.
Hey! Not fair!
All right. The president yesterday talking about tax
haven. It's a tax code that makes it all too easy for a small number of individuals and companies to abuse overseas tax havens to avoid paying any taxes at all.
Mm-hmm.
That seems unfair somehow. No taxes at all.
Yeah. Whereas the rest
I'm sure
of us
my
are
Republican
up the slack.
Brother will tell me how I have that wrong.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
The president promised sternly to crack down on companies that ship jobs overseas and duck U.S. taxes with offshore havens. It won't be easy. Democrats have been fighting and losing this battle since John F. Kennedy made a similar proposal in 1961. Obama's proposal to close tax loopholes was a reliable applause line during the presidential campaign, but got a lukewarm response yesterday on Capitol Hill. The president's plan would limit the ability of U.S. companies to defer paying U.S. taxes on overseas profits. At the same time, he would step up efforts to go after evaders who abuse offshore tax shelters. His plan would raise $210 billion over the next 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
What about the boner and all his friends blubbering about our grandchildren and children and our generational theft? There's some money. There's some money there.
I think the top of our list is providing for the safety and security of the American people. That's at the top of our list.
That is not paying taxes. How do we tell the us pay taxes?
And rich people are hiding their scratch in the Cayman Islands.
Yeah.
That should be at the top of our list.
Like your brother. I'm sure he has money in the Cayman Islands.
I don't know anything about anything. Oh, I'm going to get a call later. Thank you.
I'm just supposing.
I don't.
He's Republican. Of course he has money in the Cayman Islands or somewhere.
I don't know that to be true. I'm sure he helps other people hide it there, but what? Oh, I don't know.
There you go.
The president.
He's got a big Cayman that eats solar tax returns.
It's a tax code that says you should pay lower taxes if you create a job in Bangalore, India, than if you create one in Buffalo, New York.
What does your point, you know?
Which key do I press, though?
Any key.
I don't see any key.
Press any key.
Is that near delete?
You see there are keys on your keyboard?
Uh-huh.
Any one of them, you press that. And that would get you to the desired result.
Is it near enter?
Could be. You're getting warmer.
It becomes a game of Battleship.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you. It could be near there.
Could be the G4 key.
Okay. All right. 20 minutes after the hour, we will talk more about the tax loopholes and paying your fair share and
whatever.
Other communist plots being hatched by President Obama as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Unfreaking believable.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere to join the party. All right, so the president vowed to detect and pursue American tax evaders yesterday as he announced a plan to close tax loopholes and clamp down on multinational corporations and individuals who use foreign tax havens. In announcing a series of steps aimed at overhauling the U.S. tax code, he complained that existing law makes it possible to, the thing we said before, lower taxes if you create a job in Bangalore rather than Buffalo.
Right.
Which he was my hometown, so right away that made perfect sense to me.
I think he was talking to you specifically.
That's what I think.
Yes.
He said he wants
Thank
to prevent U.S.
support.
Companies from deferring tax payments by keeping profits in foreign countries rather than recording them at home, and called for more transparency in bank accounts that Americans hold in notorious tax havens like the Cayman Islands.
Where your brother has his money.
I have no information whatsoever about where my Republican brother's money is. If financial institutions won't cooperate with us, we will assume that they are sheltering money in tax havens and act accordingly, said the president. The president yesterday.
The way to make American business competitive is not to let some citizens and businesses dodge their responsibilities while ordinary Americans pick up the slack.
Yeah, I'm tired of picking up the slack for corporations.
Yes, Congress expected to resist significant portions of Obama's plan.
It's almost as if some of them have tax havens.
Tim Geithner, Treasury Secretary yesterday.
These actions will increase access to information held by overseas banks so that we can collect taxes that are owed to the United States but are never paid.
I'm just going to go out on a limb on what the Fox and say that Sean Hannity had to make a point about that Tim Geithner made a mistake on his taxes, right? So
how
he
did
can't
you
ever
guess?
Talk about taxes ever again.
How did you guess, Stephanie?
What the Fox?
All right, the president says Americans understand how important it is to pay their taxes, and standing right next to him when he said it today was none other than Tim Geithner himself.
Oh my God.
And that is our headline this Monday night, the president's poker face. Now, that had to be what we saw today, coming from an administration that has lost multiple nominees to tax scandals and has glossed over at least two others. But still, the president continues to bluff his way through his first 100-plus days, convincing you, the American people, that he has a flush, when in reality, he's holding a pair of deuces.
That was scrambly.
Wow. Okay, then. So did he make any points about the actual loopholes in the what the president's proposing?
No.
Or no?
No.
Of course not.
But he, people he knows, didn't pay their taxes. Ha! 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 Ha!
Actually, Tim Geithner did pay them. Yeah,
yeah.
Made a mistake.
Oh, yeah, minor detail.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I think the most important question in Republican circles these days is, what does Joe the Plumber think?
What does Joe the Plumber think? Wait a minute.
Was he invited to the GOP rebranding party at the pizza place or no?
Is he still around?
Mm-hmm.
He's still alive?
Yes. People continue to ask him what they think. Ooh. He was at the last Republican think tank.
Whatever.
Or whatever
pizza party?
Yes.
They found him in the ball crawl.
He did an interview with Christianity Today. Would you like to hear what he said? Please take out your organ for me, Chris. Thank you.
Do we have to?
Mm-hmm. In an interview with Christianity Today, Joe the Plumber said that calling gay people queer is not like a slur because homosexuality is strange and unusual. He also declared that he would never let his gay friends anywhere near his children.
He has gay friends?
Not ones that he allows near his children.
Oh, they're not that close. Because they might get some of the gay on them.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. He, why do I feel the need to quote Joe the Plumber? Because someone asked him what he thinks. He said, people don't understand the dictionary. It's called queer. Queer means strange and unusual. It's not like a slur, like you'd call a white person a honky or something like that.
A honky?
That's such a commonly
used
expression.
35 years ago.
Yeah, yes. Such a commonly used expression today.
In fact, I asked my black friend Rodney yesterday if he'd ever called someone a honky, and he said never. No.
Not even in 1973 or whenever that was. Okay.
No.
I love this. I've had some friends that are actually homosexual.
What? Oh, my
what?
God.
Not the fake kind.
Actual?
The actual kind.
Homosexual.
They don't just look gay like Joe the Plumber.
They are. And I mean, they know where I stand, and they know that I wouldn't have them anywhere near my children.
Oh, of course not.
Well, then why are they friends with
him? My kingdom to talk to one of the actual homosexual friends of Joe the Plumber who understand that they can't be anywhere near his children.
Do you have fake homosexual friends or just pretending?
I will answer that question when I come back.
Oh,
along
really?
With the rest of Joe the Plumber's thoughts on this. 28 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Look, I was drunk out of my mind. I didn't know what I was doing.
Stephanie Miller.
It was a one-night thing.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Sue in Rockville, Maryland, on the president closing tax loopholes. Hello, Sue.
Hey, good morning, you guys.
Good morning.
Here's the thing. All the teabaggers now have a reason we can join them, since they are opposed to higher taxes. If the corporations pay all their taxes, then all of us get lower taxes. So they should be, Fox should be spearheading new tea parties to help close the tax loopholes. What do you think the chances of that are?
That's what I think.
Seth?
Yes.
Yes, the other thing about Joe the plumber, I don't let my children near Joe the plumber because the stupid would rub off.
There you are. Hey. Thank you. All right. Yeah, Joe the plumber had some thoughts. Could you take your organ back out, please? Let's finish our thoughts.
More
from
thoughts?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
Christianity Today interviewed Joe the plumber for some reason.
Okay.
In which the headline was he wouldn't let the gays anywhere near his children. And he has actual homosexual friends. Is what he said. They're actually homosexual.
Fake homosexual friends.
Mm-hmm. I've got news for him. Whether he knows it or not, there have been gays near his children.
Yeah, some what?
Oh, my God!
When asked if he has plans to run for office, why do people keep asking him this? Is there some void that we feel that he can fill in public life? Is that... Wurzelbacher said he didn't have any plans right now. Whew. God hasn't said, Joe, I want you to run. I think that's
so
because...
So it's up to God?
Yeah. I think, actually, God probably said...
You are an idiot! Yeah.
Is God part of the Electoral College?
I guess God will let him know if he needs to run to, keep the actual homosexuals away from the children and...
Whatever!
Okay. Oh, dear God. All right, speaking of... you know what? While you have organs out, why don't you take out the other one? How about your wedding organ? Speaking of the gay, did you see this? This is it's an example of the Republican family values, the moral values, of which Rudy Giuliani, of course, is the embodiment.
Right.
Being that he's had a lot of families.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he's for marriage, because he's done it a lot.
Yes. He's even married his cousin.
So you remember... Mm-hmm. See, I wasn't even going to go that low, but you did.
I did.
Okay, so you know when the wife booted him out of Gracie Mansion because he was sleeping with the mistress, so he had nowhere to go? So he stayed with the gay friends, with the poodle, the two guys.
That's right.
Yeah, so
the teacup poodle.
Yes. So if they didn't have family values, he wouldn't have had any family to stay with when his wife booted him out because he was cheating on her with them. Oh, and by the way, the wife found out that they were getting divorced because he gave a press conference. It's, got those kind of family values. Anyway.
He's such a good Catholic.
Mm-hmm. So the gay friends got married, and Rudy Giuliani?
Confused says no.
No, he was no in casa.
Hmm. He was in casa with them for quite a while. But
yes,
not,
but a no-show at the...
Not at the wedding.
Hmm. At the wedding of Howard and Mark. They got married in Connecticut over the weekend. Rudy Giuliani probably didn't surprise many with his empty chair, though he believes in civil unions. He says he's totally against the gay marriage and plans on making it a big issue when he faces off for the likely gubernatorial
race. Civil union's fine, but
no, gay marriage, that's sick and twisted and crazy.
His Howard, the one friend, said, I understand why he's doing what he's doing. If he decides to run for governor, he's a Republican. He's taking a Republican stand against gay marriage. I danced at his wedding with Judith. And it would have been nice if he danced at mine. Judith, that would be the mistress. That would then be the... was that the third wife? Yeah, that'd
I believe
be the
it is
third
the third wife.
Wife.
Hmm. And some say she's a bit difficult.
Prickly?
That's what I'm told about Judy.
I must feed!
You're not supposed to call her Judy.
Why can't you call me?
I'm sorry, you awfulness.
Should I go to the wedding? No!
Okay.
Okay. You know what? I must say, compared to, let's say, Bernard Carrick's family values, Rudy's a little better. At least he didn't use an apartment that was meant for ground zero workers to sleep with. Well, he actually cheated on the one mistress with the other mistress and the wife in the apartment that was supposed to be for ground zero workers.
Mm, wow.
Don in Rockford, Illinois, on the gays. Hello, Don.
Hi. Listen, I don't know any Christian that celebrates or is asked to celebrate adultery and divorce. And our situation with gay marriage is definitely a religious one, which you know, you can't hide that fact.
Well, they don't celebrate adultery and divorce, but they do it a lot.
When I became a Christian, I can remember committing the adultery Jesus talks about within about 24 hours, the first time a beautiful woman walked by me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not about comparing sins. It's about celebrating and encouraging sin. And I think with the Iowa decision, I read.
You think gay marriage is celebrating and encouraging sin?
Well, of course.
Well, how is it a sin?
I'm not going to get into it.
No, no. Oh, okay. How, no, Don. How is it a sin?
It is a sin because it's an absolute no-no, absolutely a restriction and prohibition for Christians, written by the apostles. You can read Peter, you can read Jude, you can read Jesus.
There's nothing about
Jesus
gay marriage.
Jesus never said anything about homosexuality.
There's nothing about gay marriage in the New Testament.
Jesus makes it clear that marriage is a man and a woman from the beginning. He quotes Genesis. It's
no, he doesn't.
No, he doesn't, Don.
Jesus never said anything about homosexuality.
He absolutely says marriage.
What book and verse, Don?
A man and a woman.
What book and verse?
That's in Matthew, where he says, "For this cause." And it's about divorce. For this cause, God created man and woman. It's right. I mean, it's not debatable. It's not.
You know what? You know what? Look up. I bet you can find the Newsweek from a few months ago. The cover was the religious case for gay marriage. They actually use quite a few Bible quotes to support support gay marriage.
I have debated liberal theologians and turned them inside out every time, Stephanie.
You have.
Absolutely.
I've had one of the top liberal theologians in the country on who said that Sodom and Gomorrah, for instance, was not about homosexuality. It's about promiscuity.
Then read Jeremiah, who definitely equates it with sexual inappropriateness. Take it with Jude, who definitely equates it with sexual inappropriateness. And let's just go with the inhospitality situation. I think it's very inhospitable to call me a homophobe, a hater.
Didn't call you a homophobe, Don.
Nobody called you anything.
Wait a minute. I have debated many people on gay marriage, and they say I'm homophobic, I'm a closet.
Well, then that's their problem, not ours.
I'm trying to explain to you, I think that with the Iowa decision, it was an outstanding decision that, listen, through civil marriage, any two adults can get married through the religious system. A pastor can marry who they want. They can be vested with who they want to marry within their church system, and the state will recognize that marriage. It is an outstanding. Now, listen, here are you talking to a conservative Christian who says the Iowa decision was nothing that bad. It literally was very, very good. It said, look, here's how people feel. We are not going to denigrate religious people. We are not going to decide who gets what in this country. The Constitution says this. This is what we decided. And if Christians will relax, I don't believe gays are trying to turn us out. I don't believe and like I said, but when you want to argue theology.
But see, Don, first of all, nobody here called you a homophobe. I agree with you that, you know, we need to respect people. I respect your opinion that it's a sin. I don't agree with you. But, you know,
I have never been sued or called a Mormonophobe, and as a Christian who reads the Bible and am very, very knowledgeable in the Old Testament, New Testament, theology, liberal theology, there is just no
right. But to me, this is a civil rights issue. You can't say that one group of people can't have the same rights that everybody else does. That's what it is to me. That's why the courts exist.
Stephanie, I am agreeing with you.
Okay.
I am agreeing with you that particular. I believe the gay community, liberals and progressives, have presented their case very well. I would never, ever, ever support a same-gender marriage. It's just not going to happen. Mm-hmm. No more than I would support Islam. No more than I would support Mormonism. I believe it's completely. It's, you look at the Bible. Mm. You say, this is what the apostle said. This is what Jesus said.
So you don't respect other people's freedom of religion. You don't respect people that want to be that are Islamic or Mormon.
I absolutely respect that. I am not an evangelist. I do not proselytize people.
You just said that. Okay. I thought you just said you wouldn't support anybody that's gay any more than you'd support somebody that practices Islam or Mormonism.
Well, support means, let's say, that somebody comes into my church and says we should be Muslims. I'm not going to support that. I'm going to oppose
that. They're not trying to make you a Muslim. That's the whole point of freedom of religion.
I'm just trying to say that.
Don, this was pleasant and yet somewhat confusing, and I thank you for calling. I do. All right.
Okay. I was against him, then I was with him, and then I was against him again.
And then he said I called him something that I didn't.
Wow. Must be hard work being a religious zealot. You've got
trying to justify so much.
Oh, my God.
Okay. I agree with them. The Iowa decision was great.
Let's go with his topic for a minute. Gay marriage, celebrating sin, or civil rights? 43 minutes to the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I know it's a tad silly, but the crew really likes it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 48 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Surprisingly, we have some callers that have response to Don saying that gay marriage is celebrating sin.
That's right.
Yes.
Oh, coming up right after the top of the hour, we have political comedian Jimmy Tingle.
Yes.
And we might want to ask him about this as well.
Hilarious.
Yes.
Let's go to Stephanie and Madison on our caller, Don. Hello, Steph.
Hey, guys. And hey to Oliver, if that's what you're calling him today.
Ollie, mommy's new puppy is Ollie.
Yeah.
Ollie, mom!
These guys, you know, they bury themselves with their own arguments. So, it's just, it's a wash. But I want to real quick just tell you that I had, I was in the car with my mom the other day, and I turned on your show, and I said, well, you know, Steph has a hard time with pronunciation, but so did George Bush, and my mom goes, oh, Steffi.
So just like my mother. Yes.
Anyway.
Yeah. Well, here's the difference. You know, last I checked, Steph, I think we still have separation of church and state.
Oh, okay.
So we're talking about a civil right that, you know, obviously something the courts is trying to protect. You know, so I'm like, what? Celebrating sin? You're getting your religion in my state, for God's sake.
Well, yeah, and the badge of Christianity. I mean, what about the old days when it's just scary that they have to call themselves Christians.
Yep.
Get over it.
Okay. All right. Let's go to Rich in San Francisco. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Rich.
Hey, Stephanie, guys. Hey, since you guys heard from your religious zealot today, I wanted to speak a little bit from the side of the religious tallies, backward zealot.
Uh-huh.
You know, the one thing that really surprised me is that it's a great book and everything, but these people are spouting their information and backing their opinion with a book that was written by people who heard things, heard voices. And they're competing against a paper that was written by people that really did exist and really tortured over what they should put down to run it by.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think this, you know, in this Newsweek article on the religious case for gay marriage, Bible not exactly chock full of family values. A lot of people killing their children and sleeping with multiple people.
Let's bring Stoney back in for jaywalking, you know?
Yeah.
But a real quick comment. The one thing that I really, really don't understand is if it's celebrating sin, gay marriage is celebrating sin, I don't know what the honeymoon's all about then, because that's the original sin. And if you're going to marry a man and a woman together, that's celebrating the original sin, because, you know, that kind of stuff sort of happens on the honeymoon, you know?
All right.
So I would say both, you know, celebrating sin is kind of a, like the lady said before me, a wash, because they both celebrate sin, because that's what you're supposed to do, procreate when you get married. One last thing, sex is involved in what they call, the big thing with the conservatives is the sex involved, I guess, in your gay marriage.
Yes.
It's all wrong and everything. Well, you know, there are marriages.
Listen, gay people just want the same right to stop having sex that straight people do when they get married. Janet and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
I just wanted to say I am a member of a church, a major denomination, and we are called a More Light Congregation. And that means you are seeking more light. You are seeking more enlightenment. We have gay members. We have gay members who have had to have unity ceremonies because gay marriage is not legal in the state of Wisconsin. And you know what? They're good people. They've been together for years. And the other thing is, when the Bible talks about acting in an abomination against God, if God made you a homosexual or a heterosexual, and you choose to become or engage in sex with a person that would not normally be natural for you, that is an abomination against God. If I'm gay and I act with a man, then that would be an abomination.
Yeah, that's an interesting take on what's natural or what's not.
Right.
Let's go to Tim and Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Tim.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Go ahead.
Comment about the tax little issue here. This is the same party that said after the bailout happened, the stimulus package, that we were going to bankrupt this country and our grandchildren would be, you know, not have any money at all. We're just bankrupting this country. Yet with the whole tax loop thing, it kind of floors me that after all their tax rates, they only pay about 14%, and then they go ahead and they say that their home base is in the Cayman Islands so they can avoid paying even more taxes. So you think that they would actually want us to pay these taxes, for the simple fact is that we can actually pay for the stimulus if they're actually paying all the taxes that they should be paying.
And by the way, watch me magically full circle bring the taxes back to the gay marriage thing. I thought Melissa Etheridge made a good point that she's not going to pay her taxes if she can't have the same rights as everybody else. And that's a lot of tax money.
She makes a lot of money.
She makes a lot of scratch.
Yes.
Angela in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Ange.
Hello. I was calling because, from my recollection and my history, I'm kind of young, so correct me if I'm wrong, this country was founded on religious freedom.
Yes.
Everyone has a right to choose whether or not they want to be a Christian. Okay? Not
right.
Everyone's a Christian. Not everyone's a Catholic. So if these gay people, for instance, choose to be atheists, they don't believe in anything, they don't need to be married by a Catholic, you know, priest. They can choose to go to the courthouse and be married just by any old judge.
Right.
No religion whatsoever.
And I think that's what the Iowa decision was all about.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you have these people who are Christians, so-called Christians, and, you know, have all these family values, these Republicans. I'm sorry, but I believe that the death or the divorce rate right now is well over 50%.
Right.
In America. So you have this, you know. That
right.
This,
and it's, if you're going to cite the Bible, they talk a lot more about divorce than they do, you know.
And you sit there and you say, you know.
In fact, Paul, did he quote Paul? Paul in the Bible talks a lot more about divorce than he does about homosexuality.
Absolutely. And then they say, you know, that this is a beautiful union that only a man and a lot of men and women get divorced. So it's not as, you know, blessed of a union or as, you know, whatever they want to call it. People are getting divorced. So you're going to sit there and say that this is a sacred thing.
Yep.
No,
all
it's
right.
Sacred when you get divorced.
All right, honey.
Even uber Catholics like Mel Gibson.
What?
Get divorced.
Oops.
Huh? Oh, my God.
Come on. Didn't Jesus say something about if you meet a hot Russian waitress?
Not.
35 years your junior, that it's okay?
Hot Russian waitress, lest thou be movie star or rock star.
There's some kind of loophole for that, isn't there?
There's got to be.
It's like the Cayman Islands of adultery.
And if we're talking abominations, I've been known to eat shrimp while wearing two different kinds of fabric.
Sharon in Maryland.
Hey, I speak religious zealot, so I thought I would help you.
Oh, why,
guys
thank
out.
You. You speak religious jive. Go ahead.
Yes, exactly. I think Don was confused, but he was making the point that Christians seem to be terrified that I'm going to come to their church and ask them to marry me and my partner.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not looking at it from a civil point of view. They're looking at it totally from a religious point of view. And, you know, it doesn't help their cause any.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's exactly my point. This is why this is in the courts. This is a legal right. It's a civil right in many people's opinion. Let's go to Sue in Pennsylvania on our caller, Don. Hello, Sue.
Stephanie, what about, you know, other sources of spiritual wisdom here? I mean, why do we always have to cling to the notion that the Bible is the only source of wisdom? And why do we have to, you know, I mean, which version of the Bible am I supposed to read in this regard?
Right. And the other thing, Sue, is I've never gotten, one of these so-called Christian people to answer me, why aren't we trying to enforce everything in the Bible?
Yeah.
Why not, like I was saying, divorce? Why not killing people that eat shrimp? Why not, you know, like
well,
Jim just said?
And there are biblical scholars who can talk about the whole abomination question in context of when that was written and what it actually means. And it doesn't, you know, it has nothing to do with gay people.
Right.
You know, and it's like, you know, what? But even so, I guess my head wants to explode when it's like I'm supposed to believe that the Bible is the only source of spiritual wisdom,
right.
And it's not. And I just get real sick and tired of that. And, you know, this whole Judeo-Christian thing, it's like, you know, they're strangling the life out of the democracy when they don't allow us to have this conversation and allow everyone to have an equal voice in it.
Yep. Thank you, honey. All right. The Pentagon has called out Halliburton subsidiary KBR for its shoddy work. We will hear from a KBR spokesperson in stand-up news, that and comedian Jimmy Tingle, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa.
the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. A jam-packed celebrity hotline today. Comedian Jimmy Tingle coming in. Why? Because we're trying to get in good with Boston.
That's right.
Because Jimmy Tingle is worshipped like a god in Boston.
He's great.
And we are back on the air in Boston.
Hooray! Revolution Boston, AM 1510.
Yes, the hilarious Jimmy Tingle on Celebrity Hotline this hour. Simon Lazarus, attorney with the Federal Rights Project, calls in about the Supreme Court vacancy. And actress Kathy Najimy, comedian and actress extraordinaire, also on the Celebrity Hotline next hour.
Yes.
Hilarious.
And if you would have subscribed to my Twitter feed, uh-huh, you would have known all of this yesterday.
Huh.
Yeah. Hmm. Twitter.com/RadioGuyChris.
Or I could just hire you to be my producer, and then I know because I'm...
Stephanie Miller.
Yes, that's
correct. No, I'm not talking about you. Oh. I'm talking about the listeners.
Oh, I knew.
I know you okay. knew. You're the host well, of no, said show.
I thought you were talking to me. I don't need to subscribe to your Twitter feed. All right.
You wouldn't even know how to subscribe to a Twitter feed.
No. You just told me, why didn't I instant message someone? I'm like, I don't know how to do that.
What do you feed to Twitter anyway?
Why don't you just ask me, why didn't I split an atom this morning?
You know, instant message technology has been around for about 12 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's what I'm told.
Uh-huh. Oh, boy.
Okay. Senator Orrin Hatch on the Supreme Court vacancy.
Their side will make sure that it's a pro-abortion justice. I don't think anybody has any illusions about that.
Pro-choice is... Mm-hmm. What you say. Dr. Richard Besser, an update on the swine flu.
This is a situation of much uncertainty, but with each day, we learn a lot more information to help us understand this outbreak and understand the best means of control. While we're not out of the woods, we are seeing a lot of encouraging signs.
You know, when I was growing up in Buffalo, New York, it was a snow day was what we were hoping for. But now the kids all want it's a flu day.
What I can say is that we're seeing encouraging signs, and that makes us all very happy.
It's a flu day. The outbreak is smaller and less severe than first feared.
It's a flu day. It's a flu day.
The importance of hand washing. The importance of covering your cough with your sleeve. And that's
flu day.
I wouldn't go anywhere in confined places now. That's me.
Don't!
Swine flu.
Are we overreacting?
That's all, folks.
It's wrong. Shockingly wrong.
Thank you, Shano. I hope you have a mask on your radio just then.
That was a lot of coughing.
That was phlegmy. Yeah. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, me, Stephanie Miller. Like Ben in Fort Lauderdale did with the, I changed my puppy's name.
Mm-hmm.
The artist formerly known as Joey is Oliver now.
Oliver! He's
11 weeks old today.
Oliver!
I rescued Oliver from Gentle Giants Rescue last week. He's a 11-week-old Tibetan Mastiff Great Pyrenees puppy, and he is now Max's best friend.
Max!
Max, for half a day, pretended he wasn't a fan. Now they're like the best of friends. Oh, you can't. I couldn't get any work done this morning. He's like, look what they're doing now! Look what they're doing now! Oh, look, he's Max's head again. Look at that!
Yeah, they're going to be best friends until Max eats Oliver.
Max is not going to eat Oliver. Oliver! Okay. I am. I'm in Green Acres.
Oliver!
I'm in Green Acres suddenly.
No, Alicia, no.
Ben and Ford.
Oliver!
We got talking about renaming your pets yesterday. Ben writes, Steph, I got a cat about 4 years ago. I was a little more rebellious than I am now. I wanted to name the cat something to irritate my religious Jewish mother. I was going to name the kitty Jesus. But after thinking, I decided against it. The determining factor would be if it got lost. I would have to ask all my neighbors if they found Jesus or if they could help me find Jesus. It just seemed a bit much. Ben in Fort Lauderdale thought better of it, as you did about naming your cat Paul.
Yeah, I...
What?
Well, and also someone emailed me, this to me, Adam West on the TV show Family Guy.
Yes.
Had something to say about cats named Paul.
Mm-hmm.
All right, cats, back in the bag. Come on, Fluffy. Come on, Mittens. Come on, Paul. What a ridiculous name for a cat. Paul! That's a person's name! A person's name! Oh, Paul.
Yeah, someone emailed that to me yesterday.
Why? Wait, so why didn't you name him Paul? Jazz?
Because you don't rename your cat once
You're
it's given
ridiculous.
A name.
Ridiculous. Now you'll live a whole life without a cat named Paul.
No, the woman who rescued my cat, found Jazz, you know, alone and,
yes.
and you know, by himself.
He didn't care. He doesn't know his name.
Well, no, she had a habit of naming her rescue cats after different forms of music.
Ah, and was there a cat named Fosse?
No,
that's not a type of music.
I know. I just meant if you name Jazz, I just thought there'd be other sort of dance names.
No, Jazz's stepbrother was named Calypso.
Were there any Twilas? All right, let's Twyla Tharp.
I know.
All right,
I didn't say choreographers. I said styles of
that's
music.
That's where I was going somehow. I don't know why. Okay,
that's French and gay.
Wow. Let's check out some news we don't want to lose. Here we go.
Yippee! It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
I was going off his full name, Jazz Claws, Spirit Claws.
That's actually not his real name.
In my book, it is. Stand-up news brought to you today by ConstantContact.com. It's the smart way to build your business.
That's right. We love them.
Mm-hmm. Our top story, Pentagon's top auditor criticizes KBR support work. The Pentagon's top auditor on Monday criticized KBR's performance on a $31.7 billion combat support contract, pointing to numerous instances where the company failed to make sure U.S. taxpayers were getting the most for their money. Who do we have?
We have a spokesman for KBR.
Oh, okay.
We here at KBR are dedicated to making sure that the taxpayers are getting the most for their money.
Sorry, I couldn't quite say that with a straight face. What I meant to say is, we're getting most of the taxpayers' money. Even before the massive bailout of the clowns that drove the global economy into the ditch, we've been fleecing you suckers ever since Bush conned you into the Iraq war. Oh, look, scary Arab guy with a scary mustache. Hand over your dough if you know it's good for you, or there could be a mushroom cloud right there in your backyard. Yeah, sure, we took kickbacks from subcontractors and overcharged the Pentagon by about 1,000%. What are you going to do about it? It'd be a shame if something was to happen to your country. Yeah, it could be some kind of accident. Maybe some other scary guy with a beard and a turban maybe might be cleaning his weapons of mass destruction when it just happened to go off. How much are you willing to pay to keep your nice country from going up in flames? Just saying. Hey, auditors, give me your wallets and keep your yaps shut unless you want some KBR guys to come to your house and rewire your shower. You get me? Good. Suckers.
And finally, the headline is, Paris voted Europe's most overrated city, London the dirtiest.
Hmm.
Holidaymakers be warned, London has the worst food, Paris is the most overrated, and Brussels the most boring, according to a survey of what travelers think of European cities.
Okay.
Hmm. We have a...
the Scots Minister of Tourism.
That guy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hey. Do we need garner any respect? Once again, a noble, proud race is spurned, mocked, neglected, and given yet one more boot in the ball bag. The note is that some website have determined that London is the dirtiest city, and Paris the most unfriendly. Do they need ken the effort we sons and daughters of Scotland have made to be the absolute monkiest bugging people on the face of the earth? The Sassenachs having the filthiest city, when Glasgow can be smelled all the way to the Isle of Man. When the entire population, when they go in swimming, would leave a ring around the Firth of Forth. And Paris, the unfriendliest, haven't they had their faces kicked in on the cobbles of Inverness after a night of drinking? And have they not tried to strike up a conversation with some dour Scot, only to be made to feel like a pair of smelly oxters?
It's armpits.
Oh, thanks.
Well, we'll just have to redouble our efforts. Yon soap bar will near touch the skin of a Scot. And beware, all you miserable twits, lest you take up permanent residence in our boot soles. From now on, there'll ne'er be a fattier, ninjier, mankier collection of bampots to ever fart out loud in church and blame it on the pastor. From here on, if it's Scottish, it smells like crap. Alvasor.
That's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week. Tell your friends and it's flavors and... Hey, Debbie in Reno with some thoughts on our caller, Don, who said gay marriage is celebrating sin. Hello, Debbie.
Well, I think I can't believe that we even argue with people that believe the Bible is the word of God. I mean, give me a freaking break here. That's
their belief, you know. So.
Well, yeah, but for them to...
Well, yeah, but if you're going to enforce everything in the Bible, we need to have snipers outside Long John Silver's to... kill everybody eating shrimp. But,
and you know,
well,
what?
According to them, Jesus died on the cross so that you didn't have to do the things in Leviticus. So, you know.
Yeah, right. Well, that's great. I believe Jesus died on the cross, but I don't believe the Bible is the word of God. I think it's the word of men trying to control people.
Ah.
But, I'd rather have a gay person babysit my child than a Catholic priest. So that in a hat.
All right. Thank you. Mike, and responding to Joe the Plumber not wanting his actual homosexual friends around his children.
Yes.
Hello, Mike. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hello. I just wanted to kind of comment along the same line. Everything that you find about homosexuality in the Bible is pretty much in the Old Testament, right alongside, you know, don't shave your beard, don't wear two different types of clothing, mm-hmm. don't eat shrimp.
Yep. Right. That's in Leviticus. And according to evangelicals, Jesus died on the cross so that you didn't
so you
have
could
to
ignore.
Right. So you could ignore Leviticus.
So we could only pay attention to what they said about gays and nothing else.
Right. What?
So now I can go sleep with as many men as I want because Jesus died on the cross for it.
Exactly.
But why don't they talk about
that's
that?
Convenient.
Why did Jesus die on the cross so that you could eat shrimp but not sleep with someone of the same sex?
Because they think gay sex is icky.
But what about all the other icky things that they think are mentioned in Leviticus?
They think gay sex is icky, but oysters are delicious.
And being stoned to death is just fine.
No sense.
Everybody must get stoned.
Dave in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. A mommy's new dog, Oliver!
Oliver!
Hi, Dave.
Stephanie, when you go to work, do you turn the radio on so the babies can hear mommy all day?
Yes, I am that self-centered.
You do not.
Yes, I do.
Oh.
Oliver!
Stephanie Miller.
What do you like? What do you like?
Stephanie Miller.
That's right, Oliver.
You really do that?
So? They like sometimes I leave music
mind.
On.
Oh.
Name is Mommy.
Stephanie.
All right. Listen, I'm not as pathetic as the Republican Party.
No.
Who Eric Cantor explained why they held their little, what is it, Jim? A rebranding campaign. A thing for it's a new America something, mm-hmm. and they had it in a pizza parlor.
We've chosen Pitanza because it is emblematic of thousands of small businesses uh-huh. across the country.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And also, there were only 50 people
guys.
There. 50 old white guys.
Yeah. Rebranding the Republican Party in a pizza parlor.
Oh, wow. Dear. All right. He talked about Sarah Palin and Rush Limbaugh.
They are two individuals that have a lot of ideas.
Uh-huh.
And our party should be about ideas.
Yeah,
that's what this effort is about, the National Council for New America. And that's what they're about. So I don't think any of us should have any monopoly on the ideas. And
okay.
I know that there are some who like to make it all about personalities. But it's about ideas.
Okay. Name one.
Yeah.
That's just an idea.
Yeah.
Well, that's about ideas.
Well,
we don't have any yet.
Mitt
but,
Romney
but
said something catty about somebody. We'll tell you who when we get.
Oh no!
We get back. 20 minutes. You know, I'm guessing our right-wing caller Don. Yeah, as you know, he does not. He wouldn't celebrate sin like gay marriage or Mormonism. So I'm guessing he's not a Mitt Romney voter either.
Oh boy.
We'll cover all of that as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
We're an unusual family.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller's show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Joe in Atlanta on the Stephanie Miller Show on the gay marriage debate. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Stephanie. First of all, I'd like to start off by saying I'm really excited because I listen to your show all the time and now I finally get to talk with you.
Thank you.
As far as the gay marriage thing, it does say in the New Testament that having gay sex, it says in Matthew.
I don't think it says gay sex in the Bible.
Well, You know what I mean.
Okay.
Lesbian and homosexual.
I don't think the word lesbian is used in the Bible
and
either.
And homosexual is not in the Bible either.
In fact, Joe, that's one of the interesting fun facts about the Bible. Do you know sex between women is never mentioned anywhere?
Right. Yeah, actually in Matthew it says that it's women and
women. Does it
say
hot girl-on-girl action? What does it say?
Women and women.
No, it does not say that.
I think in Aramaic it probably was
girl action. I don't really care what people do. It's nothing like that. I'm just saying that the new covenant, when Jesus died, you can eat shrimp and pork and stuff like that. And then in Matthew, it talks about, essentially homosexuals and so on, which I really don't, I mean, to me, the Bible, when they're talking about that, because of the procreation of Christians, and so that's why they talk
about that. So does it say anything about infertile
couples
or people that just don't want to have children?
Pardon?
Does it say anything about infertile couples or couples that just don't want to have children?
I can't recall that. Like I said, I'm not a Bible scholar.
Okay. All right, Joe.
I mean, I don't, like I said, I don't care. It's just,
right.
I think when they're talking about the context, it's because they wanted to have more children for Christians and so on.
All right. Well, then we clearly then need to stone the people that decide not to have children or are infertile. Just saying. Okay.
Well, then we should have stoned Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman when we had a chance.
Not now. Now they've both procreated, you see.
Well, now that they're apart from each other.
Probably to avoid stoning. Mark in Connecticut, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Thank you. That's really hard to follow. Oh, my God. I just wanted to say that if they don't want gays to get married, don't marry one.
Yes. There you
marry
go.
Marry your own kind. I mean, really, this isn't rocket science.
Stick to your own kind.
Yeah, I was just going to say, what a weird
stick with your own kind, my grandma used to say.
And what's that story all of a sudden? Sue in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, I just wanted to say that there's a lot of great Christian people that don't believe this right-wing fringe stuff. Our church, we welcome all people. We have gay couples. We want, that's the whole point, is to be inclusive and to help other people. The goal is to really focus on doing unto others and doing for the
least. That's craziness. That's religious craziness.
And I just, it sounds, today it sounds particularly like all Christians are this crazy right wing, and we're not. And it's really no wonder that church attendance is going down.
Yep. Yep. No, exactly, because people are tired of who they've been represented by all these years. Irv in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Thanks, Stephanie. What scares me the most is that, you know, ignorance will outbreed intelligence every time. And that's what the GOP seems to thrive on. It's like, I mean, they're against gay marriage, they're against science, they're against rational thought. They have 8 and 10 kids when the planet can't support them. And it's just, but it does scare me because, you know, looking forward, you know, are we going to have enough votes to keep the smart people in office?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. Real quick, Sarah in Chicago on the Republican meeting in the pizza parlor. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Stephanie. I just have to pass along something that I read on Huffington Post in the comments section. The article was about the meeting with Eric Cantor, Jeb Bush, and Mitt Romney.
All right, you're going to have to tell me that after the break. And comedian Jimmy Tingle as we continue 28 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
You know, a lot of these young Hollywood girls carry their little dogs around in their purse, but
Stephanie Miller
carries one in her pants.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, Packerson, isn't that?
Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. You know, Mama's back in Boston. We are on the revolution. 50,000 watts of...
50,000 watts of talk power.
Don't ever do that again.
Okay. Sorry.
All right. And I'm not in a blatant suck up to Boston or anything, but if only there was someone that were worshipped like a god in Boston that would... What? Who is it, Chris?
Political comedian extraordinaire Jimmy Tingle.
Hey, he's the deity of Boston. Good morning, Jimmy Tingle.
Good morning, God's children.
How is everybody at the Stephanie Miller Show?
We are good, sir. We've been in a spirited debate because Don, our right-wing caller, earlier said that gay marriage is celebrating sin.
Let me tell you something, Stephanie. First of all, welcome back to Boston. We're thrilled that you guys are back on the air here.
Thank you.
We're all pumped up. You sounded great yesterday. You sound great this morning.
Let me just say,
Massachusetts, we're very proud, first state in the nation to legalize gay marriage. Now, the opponents, you got to get used to this, though, Stephanie. The opponents were saying things like, well, you know, if we allow the gays to get married, that could threaten conventional marriage.
Mm.
Really? How? How is it possibly going to threaten my marriage? I've been happily married for 13 years. What am I going to walk out of my house this afternoon and go, you know, I've had 13 blissful years with my lovely wife, Catherine, but what about Chuck?
Suddenly Chuck looks good to me.
What is Chuck doing later? But you know, Stephanie, I got to tell you, the idea, just by virtue of the fact that we're discussing it, and Vermont, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Iowa have all moving in that direction, it just shows progress. That's why it's not, you know, I don't get bummed out about it, because look how far we've come around this issue in just the last 15 years. When Bill Clinton first got elected, nobody was arguing about gay marriage. They were arguing about whether or not gays and lesbians could legally serve in the military. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. You had all these pundits to be sitting around going, we can't let the gays in the military. What are you, crazy? What happens if we're attacked? And our boys are in the shower. And the gays won't let them out. I have nothing against the gays. I'm concerned about the shower. It always came down to the shower.
Yeah, they were very concerned about the shower. Yeah,
as if gays and lesbians would join in the military to take a shower.
Like they don't have showers at home.
I haven't showered in months.
No,
have you thought about the Marines?
But, Jimmy, you know, that is a good point, though, when you think about, look at how far the public has come on that. You're absolutely right.
Absolutely.
You know,
right.
The public overwhelmingly now supports letting gays serve in the military, you know, so.
Exactly.
And I think the gay marriage debate is moving in the same direction.
Absolutely. And I think the whole military thing is just going to become less and less of an issue as we become more involved in places like Iraq and Afghanistan. I predict these same pundits are going to be sitting around the table in a few months going, we need more troops for the Afghanistan and Iraq. Where are we going to get them? What about the gays?
Yeah, exactly.
About the gays? These people love to travel. What about the gays?
Yeah.
I mean, they're all dying to get married. Shouldn't they learn how to fight first?
Yeah. I love the whole, like, whose idea that was. We could probably get somebody to translate Arabic. Oh, I know. Let's fire those.
You're fired.
Those people. We fired all the gay translators, you know.
Exactly. And the thing is, you know, you were talking earlier about the Republicans rethinking their positions on a lot of issues. The biggest problem with them, in my opinion, is that the country has moved on from their issues.
Yeah.
The things that they were so adamant about, I mean, and it wrecked a lot of, you know, decent candidates in the Republican Party. Moderates, there's no home for them. Right here in Massachusetts, we had Governor Romney. When Governor Romney first ran for governor here in Massachusetts, he was a pro-choice governor. After he decided to run for president because of the conservative element in the party, they had to pull him to the right. He no longer was pro-choice. He said he only supported a woman's right to choose in very rare cases, cases of rape, cases of incest, or to protect the life of the candidate.
Well, you know, I mean, and he also went out of his way in Massachusetts to say what a friend of gays he was, as well, you know, speaking of that issue. So you're right. I mean, you know, these guys have no principles. He also bragged about universal health care that he created and then, you know, basically disowned that when he ran, right?
Yeah, no, well, he was a very important part of trying to bring it to Massachusetts and making it in here in Massachusetts that you have to have health care. It's not the system isn't working as they hoped it would at this point because of, the money issues going on with every state in the country. But, no, he was helpful with that, absolutely. And, you know, but I'm just saying that in terms of the party, they're thinking, like, for example, the Supreme Court, it's going to be a big fight about pro-life, pro-choice. And, you know, I don't know about you, Stephanie, but I'm saying to myself, you know something? If rival corporations can merge for their own mutual benefit, why can't the pro-life forces and the pro-choice forces merge for their own mutual benefit?
Mm-hmm.
I am suggesting, Stephanie, right here on your show, that Planned Parenthood merge with the Catholic Church to create the largest reproductive rights / adoption center in the world, Planned Catholics of the Hood.
There you go. Well, you know, we had Reverend Jim Wallace on, who we love, and he talks about that, though. I mean, that's what he's all about, is a common ground. You know, there is common ground on reducing abortion. You know, I mean, I think there are, you know, that I think is what Obama's trying to do, isn't he? He's really trying to find common ground.
Absolutely. I think he's done an unbelievable job his first 100 days, considering what's going on. I mean, the whole shutting down Guantanamo. I have a suggestion for him, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I think he should do? Because there's all this gray area about torture. I would say we put Amnesty International, okay, in the Obama candidate, in the Obama cabinet, for a couple of reasons. Number one, they're experts in terms of human rights. And number two, it would relieve Amnesty International of the burden of fundraising. These people's work is so important, but they spend so much time raising money and asking people for money, they burn themselves out, and they burn out people who support them. I love Amnesty International. I send them money all the time. Every 90 days, I get another letter in the mail asking me for more money. You can stop torture. You can stop torture. You can stop torture. So can you. Quit sending me things in the mail.
Right, right. It's like having a kid in college, for God's sakes. So now, what's your take on the economy? I mean, we've heard all this screaming about, you know, the president spending, but, you know, it seems like economists on both sides are saying we got to spend to get out of this. What do you think?
I agree. I mean, the whole stimulus package, I think it's a good thing. It's going to put people to work. You inject more money into the economy. Personally, that's the way I see. I'm not an expert on the economy, but it makes sense to me. The problem is we need honesty, and we need for example, banks have to lend money. They are banks. That's what they're supposed to be doing. Mortgage companies. I mean, look at the lack of wise decisions leading up to this whole crisis, just in the housing industry. You had these mortgage companies. What were these people thinking? Do you have a job? No, I don't. Do you have any money in the bank? I really don't. Do you have any kind of collateral? Not at all. You're going to need a house.
Right. Yep.
You know, and they're lending money to people who have no ability to pay it back, but they didn't care because it wasn't their money. It was already guaranteed, you know, whether or not they lost the money, and they were collecting commissions on those loans. So it's that type of thing that put us in the place that we're
at. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the Republicans. I mean, that seems to be their only idea. You know, cut taxes, keep doing what we're doing. Cut taxes on the top 1%, and that's about it, you know. What do you think of their rebranding thing going on in a pizza parlor? There were 50 white guys in a pizza parlor.
Let me say, I love pizza. I could be a Republican.
For free pizza.
I'll take the pepperoni, please.
Listen, that's the best idea they've had lately. Good.
Yeah.
Free pizza? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think, again, it comes down to not having an African-American as chairman of their party. That's not going to change people's minds. It's not window dressing. It's not having Bobby Jindal, the son of immigrants, being a spokesperson. It's about the issues, and it's about the issues that people care about in the country. We believe in freedom. They're always talking about freedom of choice and less government, yet then you can't be a pro-choice candidate in the party.
Right. What my co-host Jim Ward is always saying when Michael Steele became the head of the RNC. You do get that it's not just any black guy, right?
Yeah.
That was actually Seth Meyers. And that's
funny, man.
Well, listen, you know how we can help the economy, and by that I mean the economy of Jimmy Tingle, is to buy your new CD, Humor for Humanity.
You certainly may.
What sort of things might we hear about on Humor for Humanity?
Well, you hear about all kinds of fun things, Stephanie. First of all, the name of when I actually ran for president in the last year, 2008. I just want to thank you for not voting for me, is all I want to say.
Listen, I ran too, and you didn't vote for me.
Did you run?
Yes, Goldwater Miller, CC Goldwater and I, Goldwater Miller 08.
Oh, that's great.
Yes.
That's great. Anyway, yeah, the CD is a lot of fun. It's Humor for Humanity, Jimmy Tingle for President, the funniest campaign in history. It's basically putting out my platform, to the American people in a humorous way. I loved making it. I love being on your show. I hope we can do more. And I want to tell you something.
You know what? Go ahead.
Well, I just want to say one of the things is, you know, I'm a Catholic. There's a very Catholic area here in Boston. Mm-hmm. And even though we're Catholics, there's a lot of things that the Catholic Church needs to change to move it forward, just like the Republican Party. The whole issue of women priests, for example, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, Mother Teresa, not a bad Christian. Would you agree?
I think so.
Would your friend agree?
Yes.
Your sidekick? What's his name?
Jim and Chris.
There's two of us. Yes.
Mother Teresa, not a bad Christian, dedicated her entire life to serving God and other people. She won the Nobel Peace Prize, yet because of her gender, she could never, ever, ever become a Catholic priest.
That's
yet,
right.
Theoretically, mm-hmm. I could. Now,
let's think on that for a minute.
Stephanie, Jim, and Chris, if you had to seek out spiritual guidance, who would you rather talk to, Mother Teresa or me?
Listen, we only booked you because we couldn't get Mother Teresa. She was still alive.
Well, I got to tell you, I have a lot of friends here in Boston that are priests, great people, do a lot of great work. I asked one of them, I said, Father, what's the story? Why can't women become priests? Well, because, Jim, when Christ picked his first priest, the 12 apostles, all of the apostles were male. Yeah, but Father, they were also Jewish fishermen. Well, Jim, that's another reason why fewer and fewer people are going into the priesthood. It's very difficult to find a Jewish fisherman who wants to become a Catholic priest.
There you go. Jimmy, you have an appearance in Boston. Where and when?
Yeah, with the Arlington, the Regent Theater in Arlington, Massachusetts, this Saturday night, Mother's Day. Come to the website. There'll be a Mother's Day special. We might even let the mothers in free. What do you think, Stephanie?
Ooh, JimmyTingle.com. Wow. JimmyTingle.com.
What do you think? Mothers in free?
Sure.
You're a mother suck up. Jimmy Tingle, we love you as the people in Boston do. Thanks for coming on with us.
Thanks a million, Stephanie, for having me. And I got to tell you, my mother's a hoot. We had the Walk for Hunger last week. I said, Ma, come on, we're all going to go do the Walk for Hunger. She goes, Walk for Hunger? Walk around this house with a vacuum cleaner.
All right. Thank you, Jimmy. There he goes.
Thanks a million.
Yay! Thank you, Jimmy Tingle.
He's a talker.
Yeah, exactly. You're either Catholic in Boston or you're from the Church of Jimmy Tingle.
That's right.
45 minutes
after. Walk until you're hungry.
All right. 45 minutes after the hour. Oh, I teased that Mitt Romney said something very catty about somebody. We'll tell you who when we get back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You commie, homo-loving sons of guns.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Edward in Arlington, Texas. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show on gay marriage. Hello. Hi,
hello,
Edward.
Hey, Steph, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
You know what, Steph? The Bible, amazing book, amazing brainwash book. It can justify right and wrong, no matter what it is. But the average person that studies the Bible don't even know who wrote it. Like the King James Version, which is like one of the most studied versions of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
King James was a king. He was a dictator. So if he told you to write something, you wrote it.
Yeah.
No matter who.
See, I was going to go on a limb and guess that King James wrote it. I'm not a Bible scholar. But,
and one more thing about King James, a lot of people don't know, was King James was gay himself.
Oh.
Do we know that for a fact? How do we know that?
I don't know. Kirk in Vermont.
And also, I think it's bad form to, you know, denigrate someone's religious beliefs just to, you know, prove that you have none. That's just bad form and it's rude.
He was a self-hating gay, if that's true.
Well, yeah.
Hello, Kirk in Vermont. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hello, Stephanie. Hello. Congratulations on your new puppy, Ollie.
My puppy, Ollie.
Ollie Mom.
Mm-hmm.
Just got a new puppy at our house too, and we had a loss a couple months ago, so our hearts go out to you.
Aw. Thank you, honey. All right, go ahead, Kirk.
I thought it was really interesting. You know, a lot of Christians call into your show. I've been listening all morning, and I love Don. I think you should have him on again.
Definitely. Yeah, he was very reasonable and yet horribly confusing.
Absolutely. I think he was confused, and he confused me, so it was very entertaining. But my point is, I just heard a statistic that 60 or 65% of evangelical Christians in our country also support torture.
Mm.
At the same time, they will deny marriage to a gay couple or a lesbian couple. But marriage is can be thought of as a form of torture, too. So I really don't understand why they don't support that.
All right.
All right. A little irony, I thought.
All right, honey. Thank you. All right. So they had that there Republican rebranding meeting in the pizza parlor.
Yeah.
Where 50 guys showed up, including Jebby Bush.
It's time for us to listen first, to learn a little bit, to upgrade our message a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
By the way, first you have to have one before you can upgrade.
George Bush Sr. Recently said that he'd like to see Jebby someday. Want to see Jeb up in there, up in that there White House.
Jebby up there in the White House.
Well, according to the Oliver Stone's movie W, he would have rather have seen Jeb in the White House than George.
Uh-huh.
I love what he said about the economy. He said George had a pretty good ride for a while. The economy was pretty good, and then it ended up nasty up in there. Mean.
What? Stuff happened.
Because he caused it.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. All right. Mittens was...
Bad timing.
Mittens.
Shit him and Jeb.
Mittens was there. Mitt Romney.
We're not going to have just one idea that comes from one place. We're going to have a lot of ideas coming from different places. Those that generate real interest and build up ahead of steam are going to become the vision of our party. So we don't have to come up with all the answers today, thank heavens. We have a little time. Certainly by 2010, we better.
He, by the way, joked about Sarah Palin's place on Time's list of influential people, saying, was that issue on the most beautiful people or the most influential? Oh, dear. Somebody's, I think Mittens is a little jealous. A new CNN poll shows Sarah, this is how the sad state of the Republican Party. She has an edge over Huckabee and Romney for the presidential nomination in 2012.
Oh, boy.
That's funny. That's the best idea they got, is Caribou Barbie. Romney was responding to a question about whether Time's inclusion of Palin and Rush Limbaugh on their list of most influential people was a positive or negative thing for the Republican Party. He said, I think there's a lot more influential Republicans than that would suggest. And all of them apparently in that pizza parlor.
Yeah.
Okay. Romney with some thoughts on marriage.
There should be a national standard. And my own view is that marriage is a relationship between a man and a woman.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we were saying Donna, right-wing caller, said that he wouldn't support sin. He doesn't want to celebrate sin like gay marriage, or he would never support other icky things like Mormonism.
Yeah.
So he would have been confused on Prop 8 out here. I can't decide who I hate more, gays or Mormons. Oh!
I've got a new idea. Pepperoni, bell pepper, and mushroom. How's that?
Woof woof.
Who let the pizza out? Oh, and twisty bread.
Free twisty bread.
That's the best idea they could come up with.
Free twisty bread.
We've got it! Free twisty bread! We've rebranded the Republican Party.
And sarsaparilla. Love me some sarsaparilla.
All right. I never understand that when you call the pizza, but when you order pizza and they said you want bread with that. I mean, isn't pizza already bread? How much bread do you need?
It comes on a big disc of bread.
You want some cheese bread with your cheesy bread with the tomato sauce?
How about more bread? No, I don't.
Computer says no.
That's enough bread. Thank you.
How about wings? No. I just want pizza.
All right. So speaking of Sarah Palin, she has been inundated, as you know, by ethics complaints.
Inundated.
What did I say?
Inundated.
Oh, I don't remember what I said. They range from the governor's use of state funds and staff to the workings of her political action committee and even to a jacket she wore to a snow machine race involving her husband, Dad! In total, there's been more than a dozen of them. Palin's spokesman said, as we've been saying, the number of ethics complaints filed against the governor continue to constitute the most disturbing trend in Alaska politics. Not that she's committing the ethics violations,
no.
You see, but the people are filing the ethics complaints against her. That's the disturbing trend.
I'll try to find you some and I'll bring them to you.
Okay. A government watchdog in Alaska said the number of complaints is a function of the misconduct of Governor Palin, Todd Palin, and certain state workers. Governor Palin constantly blurs the line between her personal and political interests and the interests of Alaska and Alaskans. Alaskans are fed up with it and are finally doing something about it.
Alaskan stuff in Alaska.
Exactly.
Guys and gals.
In a pizza parlor.
Terry in Virginia on gay marriage. Hi, Terry.
Hey, Steph. Oh, your puppy is so cute.
Oliver's on the website, stephaniemiller.com. Oliver!
I found the Gallup poll while I was on hold. And the thing that was most disturbing to me is that I'm in a biracial marriage. I'm the pale half. And in 1994, the year we were married, only 48% of Americans approved of marriage between blacks and whites.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
48, less than half. And now it's up to a whopping 85%, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, yep. This whole gay thing, first of all, set aside the fact that we're supposed to have a separation between church and state.
Thank you.
It's just a matter of time. It's generational. Another 15 years,
yep.
I'll be having this discussion, hopefully.
Good point. All right, sorry, out of time. 57 minutes after hour. You'll never guess what Hugh Jackman calls his penis. I think it's important that we cover that.
And we will.
And actress Kathy Najimy as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Actress, comedian extraordinaire Kathy Najimy coming up on the Celebrity Hotline in just a little bit. Meanwhile, Janet Napolitano, Homeland Security Director, updating us on the swine flu.
As the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention noted over the weekend, we have started to see encouraging signs that this virus may be mild and that its spread may be limited. We are therefore cautiously optimistic, but nevertheless, we realize that this is not the time to rest.
Also, the right still whining about the judicial activist, empathetic, communistical, socialistical pick that Obama will probably make on the
Supreme
Court.
So we have a Supreme Court, opening. Justice Souter is getting off the court. We spoke earlier about this one candidate that believes in judicial activism. Our Constitution
Sonia Sotomayor, yes.
Right.
She's the number one contender right now.
Right. She's supposedly the number one contender. But we have this idea. It's in the Constitution. We have this notion of not only free speech, separation of powers. And the idea of judicial activism or interpreting the Constitution is always in play. Now, Barack Obama said, you know, he wants an appointee with empathy last week, and that the justice isn't about some abstract legal theory.
Mm.
Now, I'm thinking, it seems to me that what liberals cannot pass legislatively, what they can't win at the ballot box, even though they're way ahead, they want the courts to take over and engage in social engineering.
Empathetic social engineering.
Does he even know what any of that means?
No.
He doesn't. He's kind of stupid.
That only,
he's just reading Mark Levin's
If only there was somebody that did know what all that means. Why? It's the Newsmaker line. Who is it, Christopher?
Attorney with the Federal Rights Project, Simon Lazarus.
Simon, can you first help us decipher what Sean Hannity just said?
Well, you know, the right has long had this oldie but goodie that liberals want judges who are, quote, activists, who make up the law as they go along rather than follow the law.
Right.
And it's been a terrific device for taking other people's eyes off the ball. The ball is the right, and judges who represent the right, who have been the activists over the last 30 years, they have concentrated basically on taking wonderful laws that Congress passed to help people, to ensure that they get access to their pensions, to ensure that they get access to health care, to ensure that they don't become victims of discrimination in the workplace, and many other things. They've taken those laws and basically torn them up. That is what the Lilly Ledbetter case was about, which some of your listeners may know about. Five justices on the Supreme Court, led by the Chief Justice Roberts, decided that if you were a victim equal pay discrimination, you had to bring your case within 6 months. Of course, almost no one who's a victim of pay discrimination finds out about it in less than 2 or 3 or 20 years.
Right, exactly.
It's a way of taking the law and throwing it in the toilet.
Well, I was going to say, and they sure were looking for their activist judges during Bush versus Gore, weren't they?
Yeah. Now, that's the best example I can think of. Good for you.
Thank you.
I mean, here are a bunch of judges, justices, who sing hymns of praise to states' rights and deference to the actions of state judges and who are in construing local laws. Forget about that when it gets in the way of making sure that a Republican president.
Well, now, and you heard
elected.
Simon, you heard our audio bite there, Sean Hannity. I mean, first of all, I can't pronounce her name, Sonia Sotomayor.
Sotomayor.
Yeah. Sotomayor. Is she the leading candidate? Because I know these rumors get out there, and does anyone really know who the leading candidates are?
No one really knows because we're not doing the picking.
Right. But so why would they call her? First of all, she'd of course be the first Latina judge, which would be awesome. But why do they have already pegged her as a judicial activist?
Because they will peg anyone who is picked as a judicial activist.
Right.
President Obama's first nominee for the federal bench, a seat on the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, David Hamilton, who is a district judge in Indiana, was simultaneously endorsed by a number of liberal advocacy groups and the president of the local Indianapolis Federalist Society said that he was an excellent and fair judge. Even so, all of the right-wing advocacy groups here in Washington and a number of senators are branding him an activist and someone who will distort the Constitution in order to ensure that abortion stays on the law of the land, etc.
Well, here's my barometer, and I'm just a partisan hack, but I want whoever will make the right's head explode the most. For instance, I understand that. I mean, the betting is he's going to choose a woman. But how about Kathleen Sullivan, former dean of Stanford Law School, who is a lesbian?
What?
Wouldn't that be great?
Heaven forfend.
Yes.
She was a law professor at Harvard University. She's one of the people being mentioned, correct?
Yes.
Who do you like? Who do you think, if you had to bet, who do you think he's going to choose?
Well, first of all, I think that progressives ought to understand that basically that all of the people that he is likely to choose will be wonderful judges and wonderful justices.
Right.
They will promote in a rational, effective, smart way the values that we support and the values that really are found in the Constitution if you look in the right places.
Right.
So I think, Kathleen Sullivan would obviously be a very distinguished and a terrific pick. So would Sonia Sotomayor, although I don't know that much about her, but that's what I understand. So would Elena Kagan, now the Solicitor General, who was the Dean of Harvard Law School. I mean, these are all just excellent people, and I have no more knowledge of who he's actually going to pick than you do.
Right. Well, now, I mean, Simon, but the thing is, I mean, obviously the president won in a landslide. He is, got his majority in the Senate. And yet he still tries to reach out. I know already he's been calling senators from both sides. He's talked to, Orrin Hatch, right?
Right.
He's talked to Arlen Specter, the new Democrat. And he is replacing a liberal justice. How far does he need to go to pick a moderate or whatever, in your opinion?
Well, I think that terminology is terribly misleading because the president's style obviously is more to walk softly but carry a big stick. At least in my view, he obviously it's a major part of his style to not appear threatening to the extent that he can to people in the middle, particularly. And part of doing that is to appear to be trying to work with the right and conservatives and Republicans, even if they reject it. You know, I think that's an effective way to be. I think he's been effective. Mm-hmm. I think that he's put forward the most progressive program that any of us in our lifetime have ever seen, and the right is very well aware of that. But he has managed to do this in a way that maintains the support of the center. And frankly, on these judicial nominations, just to be really quick, Stephanie, it's actually very important because we have a big majority, but a lot of these Democrats come from red states.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's just that, you know, the thing is, I mean, you've got Orrin Hatch already basically threatening, saying Obama assured him he won't pick a radical or extremist, but if there'll be a fight if he nominates someone contrary to what he told me, he could save him a lot of pain, he said, if he gives Orrin Hatch basically the list of nominees.
It's blackmailing.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think of that?
I think Orrin Hatch, I think that Obama and Orrin Hatch both actually know just how much power each of them has, that Orrin Hatch has a little and has some, but Obama's not a fool, and he would rather have relatively smooth sailing for a nominee, but he's not a fool, and he probably won't.
But don't you love the riot, the word empathy set off on the right? They think it's a code word for judicial activist.
Well, I frankly think that what needs to be made clear, and the president is doing a better job of it as he goes along, is that empathy is not opposed to the law. That laws like the laws that protect people against discrimination are laws that are based on empathy, and in order to apply them properly, you have to have empathy for the people who are victims of discrimination, as distinguished from empathy for the businesses that are causing the discrimination, which is what our friends on the right have.
Yeah, I love that they think empathy means that you look at the Constitution and go, yeah, I'm just not feeling that. I don't like that. I think I'll get rid of that law.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Simon Lazarus, the attorney with the Federal Rights Project, thanks so much, and we will, I'm sure, check in with you again as the nomination moves along.
Great. I enjoyed it. Thanks.
Thank you,
much,
Simon.
Stephanie.
There he goes. Simon.
Yay!
Fancy lawyer guy with the federal rights thing.
Yeah, that's his official title.
Exactly.
Fancy lawyer guy.
Yes. That will be his official title on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Okay, great. I'm sure he'll appreciate that. He spent about 8 years in college to get a title like that. Fancy lawyer guy.
Let's check some entertainment news, shall we?
Time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Our top story. The headline is Christian Bale says Arnold Schwarzenegger was no longer relevant to the Terminator movie franchise.
Oh, he didn't.
No, boy. The Terminator Salvation star, who stars in the forthcoming latest installment of the sci-fi series, insists the new blockbuster is dramatically different from when the 61-year-old actor-turned-politician played the title character in 1984.
Is he really that old?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
The franchise doesn't need him now because you just can't keep rehashing the same plot. Yes, Terminator is known for having this one singular figure of villainy that is constantly pursuing, but how many times can you keep on doing it? We have the rest of Christian's thoughts.
Well, that's Christian and Arnold.
Yes, of course it is.
Christian Bale, you got the nerve. Going on talking trek about how not relevant to the Terminator movies anymore. What are you talking about? I'll break your femur. I'll throw you out of the chopper. The Terminator is me. I suck Renate Nochamore. I was the Terminator when you were a little kid running around the Philippines, trying to be Steven Spielberg's little bad boy. Why don't you play a real man? And by that, I mean a cyborg from the future who can't be killed. Not like that sexually ambiguous Batman who lives in a house full of men and dedicated homes, the little beard and things of this nature, these kinds of things. Ah! Oh, good for you! And how was it? I hope it was f***ing good, because it's useless now, isn't it? What the f*** is it with you? What don't you understand? Did you ever stop to think it's distracting out of some has-been ex-Terminator waiting up behind me in the f***ing scene? Give me a f***ing answer! Anyone have anything to say to this? Well, somebody should be watching him and keeping an eye on him. You're unbelievable, man. You're unbelievable. I'm going to kick your ass. I'm serious. You're a nice Austrian. You're a nice Austrian. I'm going to trash your femur myself. You hear me? Ah! Ah! Da da da! Ah! Ah! Da 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 da!
Ah! There were almost more bleeps than words in that.
Yeah.
Well, 20 minutes after the hour, that was Stand Up News Part 1. Back with Stand Up News Part 2, which involves what Hugh Jackman calls his penis.
He caught what? Huh? Do we need to know
like
this?
All y'all don't have a name for it. Come on. Right back with that on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Remember, you heard it on this channel first.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. And finally, in Tinsel Talk, Hugh Jackman has a nickname for his penis.
Oh,
he
boy.
Calls it Old James Roger. The X-Men Origins what? Wolverine star said, it's a PG-rated movie, so old James Roger down there wasn't going to be seen on the big screen, adding that the director personally handed him footage showing his willy after it was cut from the film's final version. Not in a Loretta Bobbitt way.
Wow.
He said, there you go, mate. I put it in a bag.
My God.
Do we have Hugh Jackman?
No.
We have Percy Sludgebottom.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm.
Well, hello, all you Spurts fans. It's your correspondent, Percy Sludgebottom, here as part of a joint effort to get to the root of the latest craze amongst our delicious male actors, the panorama of penis naming. It all started with that Lizard of Oz, old James Roger, the name Huge Jackman gave his little Jackman. It turns out penis naming has been all the rage for time out of mind. Who knew? Here are some of the ones that have come to light, as it were. Sean Connery's little Scott is called You'll Be Saul. Something to do with Scottish independence combined with a well-known recreational activity. Johnny Depp's is known as Tatters, evidently dating from his Edward Scissorhands days. Ouch. Roger Moore's auntie, Donald Trump, not a name exactly, but he's been overheard to exclaim, either you fire or you're fired. Who knows what he meant by that. Ann Coulter calls hers Joey, after the late great senator from Wisconsin. And Rush Limbaugh calls his, but it doesn't respond, at least not without chemical assistance. And finally, there's Shia LaBeouf, who was named his mummy. I think that boy needs to get out more. Or maybe get in more. It's hard to say. And when it's hard, I say, this is Percy Sludgebottom, and I'm not talking to you, you bitch. Call me.
That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward Falderall.
Hey, it's Jim Ward's Apocryphal but True. There's a title ad on the Stephen Miller website.
Wow.
I'll take you right there.
Woohoo.
StephenMiller.com.
Okay. Yeah, that's the one.
Hey, speaking about Christian Bale, he's been left with a disfigured finger after slicing off the top in a dirt biking accident.
Da-da-da-da-da.
I'm going to guess there was swearing involved there.
Yeah.
Good for you! He admits he barely felt the injury, didn't realize how serious it was until he caught sight of his bloodied hand.
That's useless now, isn't it?
I'm just guessing there was a lot of... That was the audio of that. Thank you. Okay. Oh, no! Miss Homophobe California, Miss California.
Yeah.
Nude pictures. What?
Slut! She's a slut! Look at her slut!
You knew this was going to happen.
What kind of family values is that? You know, I know a lot of gay people that have never, ever been photographed nude. How about that?
Have you ever been photographed nude?
Blog of...
What?
Not that I know of.
Really?
The blogosphere is ablaze with buzz about topless and semi-nude photos of Miss California Carrie Prejean. We hear there's a whole series of photos about to leak. Oh,
and
dear.
Her fake boobs. It's at. You can find them at thedirty.com.
Uh-huh.
Okay, then.
So there you go.
Thedirty.com.
Yes.
I'm surprised I haven't found that yet.
Okay. Speaking of the anti-gay, guess who has been banned from Britain? Reverend Fred Phelps and his lovely daughter, Shirley Phelps Roper.
Oh, yeah.
And also radio host Michael Savage.
Why have they been banned from Britain?
They have been put on the named and shamed list by the Home Office. They include hate preachers, anti-gay protesters, and far-right U.S. Talk show hosts. I think it's important people understand the sorts of values and sorts of standards we have here, the fact that it's a privilege to come here, and the sorts of things that mean you won't be welcome in this country. Good for you, Britain.
I've always hated Britain. Liney bastards. Let's nuke them. Son of a bitch.
Well, that's probably why he was... Let into the country.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, 28 minutes after the hour. Much more celebrity stack. Actress and activist and comedian and just all around
cool
extraordinaire. Kathy Najimy on the Celebrity Hotline. We continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
One of those shallow idiot celebrities who's only famous for being famous.
What? It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere as the party continues. You know, there's only one thing a party needs now. What? Chris, who is it?
Actress, activist, and director, Kathy Najimy.
Hey. Funniest woman ever. Good morning, Kathy Najimy.
Good morning. That's the best intro I've ever had at 8:33 in the morning.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Pacific time. How are you, honey? I haven't talked to you in ages.
You know, last time I saw you was a couple administrations ago.
Exactly. You must be considerably happier now.
It's a new dawn. It's a new day.
It's a new day. It is. Look at you quoting a Black Eyed Pea. Yes.
New day.
Thank you. So, this is exciting, isn't it? A lot of the causes you've been fighting for, you know, are looking up these days, aren't they?
I don't have to fight as hard, right?
Well, I don't know. We've got a Supreme Court battle coming up.
I know. We've got some things, but it's a little bit better right now.
Don't you love that as a liberal, that empathy apparently is the worst word you could say to a right-winger when the president said he wants to pick somebody that has empathy for
right.
the Supreme Court? That's bad, I guess.
How dare you?
Exactly. Exactly.
No, it's a very good time for us all. Plus, you know, I have a 12-year-old daughter. So when you have a daughter and things are as precarious as they've been in the last 8 years, then this is good news for mama.
Well, you know, in the exciting news, I mean, the rumor is he will likely pick a woman, which is great for your daughter and everybody's daughter, right?
I think that'd be the right thing to do. But you know what? I'm going to support whatever the dear man wants.
Yeah, exactly. How do you feel so far about the first 100 days or whatever everybody talks about?
Well, I mean, you know, it's like if a rock, horrible bad rock group has a big, big party in a hotel room, and it lasts for 8 years, and, and you're the maid.
Yes.
It's going to take a little more than 100 days to totally clean up the mess.
Yep.
But, you know, things are picking up.
Yep. It's like that cartoon that came out right after the election about, you know, it said, what's changed? You know, it used to be that the only job a black man could get in America was cleaning up after white people.
Right.
Nothing's changed.
Yeah. No, so I think, you know, I'm a big fan of Obama and actually everything. Not everything, but just the swing that's happening now, as you are. You know, we both come from the same, you know, we both were fighting for rights in, what, 1933 we started fighting?
Yes, I believe it, when we were hoofers on vaudeville together.
Yeah.
We started in the Catskills, actually, didn't we?
Remember that?
Listen, I know you're directing an amazing play here, which I'm going to go see this weekend, but tell me, are you, because you are just one of my favorite actresses ever, are you doing anything that we get, upcoming film, anything that we can look forward to?
Well, that's nice. First of all, thanks for letting me be one of your favorite actresses ever.
Well, you know, it started when I saw the Kathy and Mo show off Broadway. I literally, you know how they do those stupid commercials, I fell out of my chair? I actually fell out of my chair.
Right.
An usher actually said, get up.
Yeah, that's when both Mo and I met you.
Yes.
You know, what am I doing? I'm off to New York to do a little movie. You know all those dance movies where they're dancing in the streets with the kids with the garbage cans and then they have a contest? I don't know what it's
yes.
called. But I'm off to do that. And then I'm going to go to do... Lifetime is doing this TV show called Drop Dead Diva. Have you heard of that?
Oh, I haven't. That sounds great.
Yeah, it's great. It's about a very thin, beautiful woman who gets in a tragic accident and comes back as a plus-size attorney.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so I get to go be on that for a couple weeks.
Oh, fun. Fun, yeah. Fun. Tell me about the play. You're directing a play out here in Los Angeles.
When I was growing up, my best friend Steve Gunderson and I would be obsessed with Bacharach and David music.
Right.
And he would force me to learn all these songs, even though I sing okay, but it's not really what I do. And so I, you know, sort of the soundtrack of my life became these songs from like the 1960s to the 70s. You know, Walk On By, Say a Little Prayer,
oh.
Alfie, One Less Bell.
Oh, love it.
Houses at a Home.
And, now you're talking my language,
yeah,
sister.
And we've been obsessed. And, you know, like some crazy comic strip, when two kids get together and write a show in their backyard, we put together this show called Back to Bacharach and David. And lo and behold, there are, like, you know, lots of other people who love this music as well. The great thing about this music, it's kind of like the Beatles, where generation after generation adopted and recorded, and it becomes their favorite.
Right. Right.
But I only remember it, you know, like Dionne Warwick doing it, but now Elvis Costello does it, and it's in the Austin Powers
right.
movies. And so we put together this thing, and Mr. Backrack and Mr. David came and saw it, and flipped out. Loved it.
And I've heard it's amazing. I can't wait to see it. And one of my other favorite actresses, Susie Mosier, is in it, who's an amazing singer and hilarious.
You know Susie?
Of course I do. I know everybody.
Yeah, Susie was friends with Steve and I when we started doing this 30 years ago.
Yep, yep, absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah, and so it's very Mickey and Judy. It's very put on a show, and it's 70 minutes of music. And since you know me and you sort of know my little point of view, some of the songs, because they're period specific, we've, you know, that's what I call them, Hal and Bert, Flick Flick, we're very close.
Right.
They've let us put a little sort of a modern independent woman spin on some of the more period ones.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let me just say, if you have ever heard Susie Mosier's version of Don't Cry Out Loud, you will not miss this show. We have
yes.
we have five the first five callers at 1-800-STEP-12 get a pair of tickets to Kathy's play here, if you're here in Los Angeles. And it's running for how long? The next couple of weeks? Or?
Yeah, it closes on May 17th. And,
okay.
you know, Diana DeGarmo from American Idol is in it.
Oh, wow. Very cool.
Oh, boy. She can sing
yes.
her bottom off.
Amazing. What about, what's her name? Susan Boyle. Will she be getting a role in any of your upcoming productions?
You know, I don't know if I believe that whole thing. Do you?
Something smells fishy to you?
I don't believe it. Like, oh boy, you don't look good. Oh, look, you sing. I didn't believe any of it.
Yeah, it's probably like flabbergast. She's probably like a model.
Yeah,
and the whole thing.
She's gonna peel her face off. Like in the beginning of Charlie's Angels.
Yes.
Drew Barrymore.
So, Kathy, what else politically going on? What you must be, because I know you fought for women's rights and gay rights and all sorts of issues for years. I mean, you must be heartened by this, the gay marriage. I mean, it's sweeping really literally the country.
Yeah, well, you mean the good part or the bad part?
Well, the bad part about California, but I'm
yeah.
saying
yeah.
Iowa and all the rest of the, you know, the Northeast.
You know, it's so funny. I sound like some 80-year-old veteran. But, you know, you go through so many waves of people doing the right thing and then not, and then doing the right thing again, that just that the term gay marriage has become part of our vocabulary is different from when I was growing up. That, to me, is fantastic. But, you know, obviously what happened in California was shocking and hurt my feelings along with, you know, 50,000,000,000 other people. And then you sort of pick up and you get your bumper stickers and you go and you march and you write and you do what we have to do. But to me, it's the silliest fight we've ever had. It has nothing to do with anybody else. None of your business.
Yep.
None of your business.
Yep.
You don't have to marry a gay person. You don't have to know a gay person.
Yep. We had a right-wing caller on this morning that said, I don't support gay marriage because it's celebrating sin.
Oh, God.
Like, there is no such thing as separation of church and state in our country.
No. And what I believe, you believe. And basically, I feel bad. Those people are people who are afraid of every feeling they've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And don't know how to deal with it, and therefore turn it around against other people who have found love. Like, really, for real, bringing it back to Backrack and David, what the world needs now is love, sweet love.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we actually show, you know, we deal with some images of all kinds of love, sweet love in our show, which I'm really proud of, which I'm sure not everybody agrees with, but how can you argue? You may not love someone.
Right, right.
It's
well,
absurd.
You know what I think the Republican Party needs a little more love? They need a big hug. Did you see they had their big rebranding party at a pizza parlor? There were 50 old white guys there.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, God bless them.
Oh, bless their hearts.
None of them fell in love because they wouldn't be able to get married legally.
That's right.
That's right, because sing it with me, everybody. Come on.
You are good.
What? Oh, the play is Back to Back, Iraq and David out here in Los Angeles. The director, Kathy DeJimmy, the wildly talented Kathy DeJimmy. Kath, come on with us anytime.
Stephanie, I loved you then, I love you now.
I love you always.
All right, hey, thank you.
Thanks, honey. There she goes, Kathy DeJimmy.
Yay!
Love is love, sweet love.
I think this is a song we used to placate people during the primary, wasn't it?
Yes.
That's right.
Oh, you're right. And it worked.
It did work. See, I told you, we all magically came together finally. Yes, we did. 42 minutes after the hour, back with more celebrity stack and the latest on the Arlen Specter defection, much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, it's a cross between beautiful and gross. I want to cry and vomit.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Phyllis in Minneapolis on gay marriage. Hi, Phyllis.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to make a small history correction. King James did not write any part of the Bible. He commissioned the translation.
Right. He, well, whatever the caller said, he ordered it or whatever. Yeah.
No, I think he said he wrote it. He said
Caller said he wrote it.
Oh, okay. Well, then that is incorrect.
Yeah, that is incorrect. I just didn't want people out there to get the idea that some English king in the 1600s.
Yeah.
Much like, here's another fun fact for you, Phyllis. The Queen's English, the Queen didn't actually write it.
Right, exactly.
Okay, thank you. All right, just clearing that
up. It is my English. Our English.
Jerry in Long Island on Gay Marriage. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Steph. How are you?
Good.
You know, I just visited your website. You are so attractive.
Why?
You're really, really attractive. Oh, I encourage everyone who's listening to go to the StephanieMiller.com and check out your little puppy pictures.
Oliver is up. My new 11-week-old puppy is up there that I rescued from Gentle Giants. Oliver. Go ahead.
You sound like an animal lover. You really do.
Ali's like mommy's baby.
But okay, let me get to what I wanted to say, and hopefully you won't hate me or hang up on me.
Okay.
But I think the reason why people who aren't religious or maybe are religious also share this view, that it's gay marriage isn't normal, and I don't want to teach my child that a man living with a man, raising a family, or a woman is normal.
What's normal? What's normal? What does that mean? I mean, the majority of people are straight. I'll give you that.
Yes, that's what I mean by normal.
Well, so
the majority of people in America are white. Does that make black people abnormal?
Well, not when we're talking about marriage. I mean, we're talking about a union between a man and a woman. I mean, I don't.
The majority of marriages are of people of the same race. Does that make mixed race marriages abnormal?
Are they between a man and a woman?
That wasn't my question to you, Jerry.
That wasn't his question.
It goes against nature. I'm not
what? Black people marrying white people goes against nature?
Homosexuality exists in every species. Is that abnormal?
Right, but they're not breeding. They're not going out and having...
But homosexuality exists. It has always existed. It exists in every species. How do you explain that if it's abnormal?
Of course, things exist. Smallpox exists.
You're comparing homosexuality to smallpox and other icky diseases.
Uh-huh. I'm following your train of thought there. That's all.
You just don't like the gays because what they do is icky, right?
Yeah, nothing. See, and that's the problem. If you disagree, automatically you don't like them. I mean, I don't have anything against them. They're free to live.
You just don't want them to be happy.
You know, my friend, the psychologist, did her thesis on she called it the myth of normalcy, which I think is great, because what is normal?
Normalcy, pardon me.
But what is normal? You know what I mean? It just, that's, all right.
Normality or normalcy.
Warren
Harding made up that word, actually.
I know a lot of straight people that are incredibly odd.
And freaky.
Abnormal, if you'd like to.
Yeah. Real freaky.
Exactly. How about that? What was the religious right-wing preacher that got found caught dead with the flippers and the wetsuit on and the...
Whatever.
And didn't he have a sexual implement shoved...
Yes, he had something up his... Something.
This isn't the guy who fell on the potato.
No, that was another priest. Okay. That was a vicar.
No. Okay. Pink, the singer Pink,
Yes. She
has denied the bisexual comments. She's blasted reports that she has come out as bisexual, insisting her quotes were fabricated. So I guess she did not surrender them. You said I can't say that.
Hey!
Because her name is...
Well then, the Stephanie Miller Show regrets the error of reporting that yesterday.
Yes, indeed. Dom DeLuise has died. That's very sad entertainment news. Breaking news just now.
Yeah, he was 75. And he died.
Hilarious.
Yep.
Speaking of hilarious, Oscar-winning actress Cloris Leachman is launching her own fashion line at the age of 83. She's enjoying a fresh burst of fame because she was on, Dancing with the Stars.
That's right.
She has a line of cheetah and floral print chiffon tunics.
Oh, I'm getting one of those.
I think I'm getting to the age where I think that's it. That's what I'm going to wear.
I could see you in one of those.
I'm an elderly shut-in. This is it. She insists
they will... Moo-moo's next?
That's pretty much what they are. They're moo-moos.
Okay, oh boy.
She insists they will be affordable about the cost of...
Overking.
Mm-hmm. You wondered when I was going to get to that and how, and that was how. That's exactly how I was going to get to that.
I am Paul Blücher.
And the horse is reacting to the moo-moo, I think.
Yes.
All right. Hey, Arlen Specter says he has principles.
Yes. My principles have become much more aligned with the Democrats.
Yes. My principles are very flexible, depending on my ability to get reelected.
Exactly. Yeah, he said that.
But do I want to stay in the Senate? Sure. Do you like your jobs? Sure.
You know, there are other jobs than the Senate, Arlen.
No, not for me. I've been doing it for a long time.
I hate someone who takes up politics as a career. I just can't stand that.
He, by the way, boosts his reelection prospects by switching to the Democratic Party, but may be vulnerable if the Republicans can persuade Tom Ridge to run. The Quinnipiac poll shows Specter as a Democrat with a 53-33% lead over Pat Toomey, the Republican. The poll also found Specter and Ridge, though, would be virtually tied if Ridge gets into the race. Joe Sestak, whom we know.
And whom we love.
Whom we love. Has still said he may run. Specter said he's received no assurances that other Democratic primary candidates would step aside. Joe Sestak, not happy, if you've seen him on the TV.
Do you blame him?
No. He said, I'm kind of disappointed in the Democratic political establishment in Washington, D.C. He said, what I need to know is what he's running for. If he has the right answer, so be it. We move on. He said, too many of jobs have been lost for us to worry about somebody else's job who switched parties. I'm not sure he's a Democrat yet. Me neither.
Yeah. I have a really big problem with him saying that he decided to switch parties so that he could keep his job.
Yeah.
That's not a reason to run for office at all.
I like the perks.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Wow, did you see that Condoleezza Rice couldn't even answer a question from a fourth grader very well?
Oh, really? What happened?
She told Jewish elementary school students that the Bush administration did not use illegal interrogation tactics.
Really? Because if the president does it, it's not illegal.
Yeah, I'm guessing the kids said.
You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
Her remarks were in response to a question from Misha Lerner. Go on, Misha.
You go on with your bad self.
A fourth grader. She asked Rice what she thought about the Obama administration's remarks on interrogation methods. And Rice said she said that President Bush assured his administration that we would do nothing that was against the law or against our obligations internationally. I hope you understand it was a very difficult time, children.
So apparently she's not smarter than a fourth grader.
No, she's not. Yeah, fourth grade, I believe, responded.
Eat me!
All right.
Yeah. Hot potato barbecue. Eat me! He wants some rest for now or food. We won't stay fresh for very long. So eat us before we finish this song. Eat us before we finish this song.
They were, you know, rehearsing their little Thanksgiving play. Yeah, they were dressed like vegetables. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Last week, Condi told Stanford University students, quote, we did not torture anybody. Oh, y'all might want to load the liar cannon. A Senate Intelligence Committee report released in April showed Rice was among the top Bush advisors who approved the CIA's use of waterboarding, which is, children, torture. That's right.
You're a lousy, stinking liar.
I can't wait for her to say all that under oath.
I've simply made the logical deduction that you are a liar.
Rise me, baby Jesus Christ.
That's what the little fourth grader said.
That's right.
Yeah, I love she said September 11th was the worst day of my life in government, watching 3,000 Americans die because these people attacked us, and also because you were national security advisor.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was the worst national security failure in our history, and it happened on, technically
3,000 Americans. There were several hundred non-Americans who perished as well.
Yes.
Why must you turn my office into a house of lies?
Okay. Republicans looking to recover from Bush-era defeats, by the way, are turning to an unlikely source for advice. Top aides to President George Bush.
Oh, great.
Good thinking.
Dana Perino, Ed Gillespie, and Tony Fratto among those to provide words of wisdom to House Republican press secretaries at their annual workshop this Friday. Will that also be in a pizza parlor?
Yeah.
The Democrats say this is proof the GOP has failed to recognize that Bush's policies are at least partly to blame for the party's minority status. Reuniting the Bush operation is like making a sequel to a very bad movie. House Republicans are better off staying home, watching soaps, and coming up with new ideas for their out-of-touch party, said a spokesman for Representative Chris Van Hollen, whom we know.
And whom we love.
Listen, that is not fair, by the way. The Republicans did come up with one new idea at the pizza parlor, and that is free twisty bread for everybody!
Yay!
That's it.
Vote for me, you get free twisty bread.
That's all we got. Do we need more? All right, 57 minutes after the hour. That's it for us today. I'd like to thank executive producer, engineer, boy toy, Chris LeBoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, associate producer, Rebecca Baker on phones and drums. See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.